Okay. Firstly, a declaration. I voted Remain. Okay. I think I've got 10 comments. I'm not sure I can fit them all in the time, but I'll try and do that. I think the first thing I like about QCA is the concept of causality is a rich concept. It has lots of possibilities. And the good thing about this is it has some correspondence with the complexity of day-to-day reality that we're talking about. We're talking about multiple conjunctural causation, so packages of things that can be causes. We're talking about asymmetry, so we can have sufficiency and necessity, and they're quite different things, where in correlational studies they're treated effectively as the same. We've got things like Inness and Suin, which Barbara will be talking about, which is about how particular conditions can have different effects depending on the combinations that they're in. And we came across one not so long ago called exclusive OR, where this is another example of where things it matters how things are combined. You can give grant assistance to an enterprise development program, and that might work, and you can give credit assistance to an enterprise development program, and that might work. But if you give them both together, it's actually probably going to fail because it confuses expectations about whether loans should be given or not. And that's in logic terms, that's called an exclusive OR. So that's all about the how combinations of things make a difference. So I like the richness of the concept of causality in QCA. I think QCA is specially suited to programs where there's significant diversity of context and interventions, and we get diversity of context in any large program, basically, especially in international programs that are working across multiple countries. We get diversity of interventions where there's either decentralization of management or participatory processes are emphasized. When we look at diversity of contexts and interventions, in my experience, they are the rule rather than the exception. And what is the exception is where you have a standardized treatment, a la the kind of thing that you're looking for in a controlled experiment. So diversity is the norm, and I think this method is very appropriate to dealing with diversity. In my view, QCA is all about having a loose theory, working with loose theories of change. And what I mean by that is we have an idea of the ingredients of what might make a difference, but we don't know exactly how they fit together. And we can only really find this out after the event, when we've got data, and then we can work through it using QCA. It's a very good after-the-event way of constructing a theory out of a set of ingredients, a loose theory of change. The notions of necessity and sufficiency, I've just found them useful in another area. I'm just doing a review of how people construct theories of change, how they represent them diagrammatically. And one of the issues in theories of change is you're always trying to draw lines connecting, these events to these events. And it would be very useful when developing diagrammatic representations to be able to separate out what connections were necessary and what connections were sufficient, because that can make a huge difference to the consequences implied by that particular theory of change. So I think we can take these ideas out of QCA and use them in related situations. I want to say something very briefly about inconsistency. In QCA, when you work through the method, particularly in early stages, in some ways you're trying to resolve inconsistencies. So you have cases as sets of configurations that are consistently associated with an outcome or the absence of an outcome. But there are some circumstances where inconsistency is actually good. If you've got a model predicting the absence of an outcome, for example, poor nutrition, the absence of good nutrition is poor nutrition, and you've got an inconsistent case where someone has actually got good nutrition in a circumstance where everybody else has got poor nutrition, that's what's called positive deviance. And those cases we really want to discover and dig into and find out about. So there's a little bit of an argument there of don't treat inconsistency as a bad thing. It's a source of really important learning in some circumstances. I'm jumping through this very quickly. Quine-McCluskey algorithm is a minimization algorithm used in QCA. All algorithms have their limitations. They're good in some circumstances, not good in other circumstances. I think the QCA, the Quine-McCluskey algorithm, It has its limitations to do with limited diversity, which Barbara will probably talk about, but it can be combined with other algorithms. Just exhaustive search is one way of finding a small set of possible solutions, particularly when you've got a large number of conditions. And then you can then bring in Quine McCluskey to make choices or to reduce those small number of solutions found by an exhaustive algorithm. You can bring it in on top of or after using exhaustive search. You can also use genetic algorithms to search a really big combinatorial space, and you may come up with more than one fitting solution. And again, you could use the Quine McCluskey algorithm to help you out there. There's other algorithms as well, decision tree algorithms, which is one area that I've been looking at. So there are various algorithms, but I think they can be combined and used to much value in different circumstances. I think the area which I'd like to see some clarification on, perhaps later today, is how we combine hypothesis-led inquiry with algorithmic search, because it seems to me that's the best of possible worlds. We have some hypotheses that we want to test. We've come up to some conclusions, but it'd be great to have an algorithm that could search the space of possibilities just to find out whether there are other better solutions than what we've got what we've found through a hypothesis-led inquiry. The Quine McCluskey algorithm is a way of searching that possibility space, but how can we combine testing specific hypotheses with algorithmic search? That's one thing I'm interested in. And the other area which I'm really interested in is, okay, we've got a QCA solution that says these are the configurations that seem to matter. They seem to account for most of the outcomes. Now we have to interpret what those configurations mean. We have to find individual cases and show how those configurations are actually working in practice. And when we do that, particularly if we're working with a significant number of cases, we've got to make a choice about which case will we select in order to illustrate how this configuration is working, but also which case will we select in order to understand the causal mechanisms underneath that association, underneath that configuration. And I think there's a lot of interesting work there to be done about how we select appropriate cases and what sort of questions we ask when selecting those cases and what sort of comparisons to make. I'll stop at that point.
Thank you very much. Excellent. That's great. I think with these two comments and with Barbara's introduction, we have a good starting point for the day. As we are now at a few minutes after 10, I think we'll break for a coffee. After coffee, we have the two parallel sessions, and one of them on the need to know for commissioners, led by Rick Davis, will be in the room called Stapsilen, very appropriate for midsummer. It's three rooms down the corridor, and then the other session, led by Barbara, will be here. We have this 20-minute break, and then we have lunch. And I'm sure that many of you have a large number of questions. And the process should, of course, be used to put questions to Barbara in particular. But I should then, and of course, also Rick and Katrina. But not all of you can do that, and I thought we'd be time. And I should then mention that when we have studies done in ABA, we always put up reference groups, and those of us in the reference groups, we follow the work a little bit more closely than others do. So we have read the report in draft and so on. And in Barbara's report, apart from Rick in the reference group, it has been Lena and John and myself. So while we cannot answer as many questions as Barbara, we can still engage in more of a conversation than anything else. You're welcome to us as well. Aren't they, Lena? Sure, yes. Thank you very much, and coffee.